And let me ask you this question as we kind of begin. Are you ready for 2023? Anybody ready for 2023? Oh, yeah, there's so much enthusiasm. I can sense the enthusiasm. I tell you what, we're going to begin 2023. We're going to begin today with some detox, right? Now, not body detox, not a body cleanse, but we're going to begin with a soul detox beginning today. And there's a lot of people, when the beginning of the year rolls around every single year, there's a lot of people who make New Year's resolutions. Some of you made New Year's resolutions. Now, with New Year's resolutions, some people say, you know what, with my New Year's resolution, I'm going to read one book every single month. Yeah, I'm going to read one book every single month. Other people say, you know what, I'm going to be a better money manager with the resources God has given us. Other people say, I'm going to volunteer more. Or how about this one? A lot of people say, I'm going to lose weight this year. Anybody on that bandwagon? Yeah, a few of you are on that bandwagon. And you know what, losing weight, that's a great thing. That's always a good thing to lose a little bit more weight. And a lot of people lose weight by beginning a body detox. You know what I'm talking about? By beginning a body cleanse, right? And there's a lot of products out there for a body cleanse. A lot of products out there for a body detox. You've got drinks, you've got pills, and I guess the pills and the drinks are okay, but the pills and the drinks for the body cleanse, the body detox, they're really, really expensive. And you can ask my wife, I am not into spending money. And so when it comes to a body cleanse, when it comes to a body detox, I'm more into a cheaper method. And some of you may be as well. And one of the cheaper methods in a body cleanse is just quite simply by going to a place like Taco Bell. Or does anybody prefer to go to, yeah, I like Taco Bell. does anybody prefer to go to White Castle? What do you think? Yeah, White Castle. Just get a bag of Gut Bombs, and you will be detoxing out of both ends of your body. Can we just be honest with each other right now? I mean, you get something like that from Taco Bell, from White Castle, you're either going to be hugging the toilet, or you're going to be backing up to the toilet. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to think, I'm going to die. And the next minute you're thinking, you know what, I'm afraid if I don't die. You know, it's that bad sometimes. I mean, people are very, very health conscious when it comes to the beginning of the year, when it comes to January 1, the month of January. We're all very, very health conscious. I mean, gyms at this time of year they're just packed, right? Packed with people trying to get into shape. Now we're going to be talking about a detox. But the detox we're going to be talking about is a soul detox. And in this series, we're going to be talking about detoxing a heavy heart. That's what we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks, detoxing a heavy heart. I mean, all of us carry around a heavy heart, a heavy load, and we're going to be talking about how to unload that kind of a thing. We're also going to be talking about detoxing from a cluttered mind. Detoxing from a cluttered mind. You are what you think. You become what you think about. And today what I want to talk about is detoxing from a tortured soul. Now, here's something that you may not have ever thought about. We are not bodies who happen to have souls. Think about it. We're not bodies who happen to have souls. We are souls who have bodies. Have you ever thought about that? We are really souls who have bodies. Genesis 2:7 puts it this way. There it says in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living soul." Man became a living soul. You see, we are a soul who happens to have a body. And a lot of us today are living with a tortured soul. And the question is this, why in the world are we living with a tortured soul? Why do we continue to live with a tortured soul? I submit this to you today. We live with a tortured soul because there is a secret sin in our lives. I mean, no matter how you've tried to get rid of it, no matter how hard you've tried to deal with it, it's there. You just can't deal with it. It's a habit. It's a hang-up, and you just can't get past it. The Apostle Paul, he had struggles in his own life. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter 7. He said, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do." And then he goes on to say this, "But what I hate, I do." I mean, the Apostle Paul himself, the most prolific New Testament writer, a theologian, a great theologian in his own right, he had those struggles, and he admits in that scripture that he is powerless on some things in his life and is torturous to him. Have you ever made promises to God? "God, I am so sorry I did this. God, I'm so sorry I fell off the wagon again. God, I promise you I will never, ever do that again for my entire life. God, it's done. I'm over with it. I'll never do it again." And then the next week rolls around. The next day rolls around. And maybe even the next hour rolls around and you do it again. You see, you're living this deceitful life in front of your coworkers, in front of your loved ones, in front of your church family. And inside, you are tortured. You're tortured by the secret sin you're carrying. And you try and you try and you try, but you just can't win. The Apostle Peter, not just Paul, but the Apostle Peter, he says this in 1 Peter 2:11. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, as aliens," he says, "to abstain from sinful desires which war against your" what? Which war against your what? Soul. The battle's in our soul. That's where the battle lies, in your soul. You see, we are tortured by things that we've done, and we carry around, don't we? We carry around this heavy, heavy weight. And, I mean, David's a great example of that in the Old Testament. Remember David in the Old Testament? This is what David said in Psalm chapter 38, beginning in verse 3. He said, "There is no health in my body, no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." Some of you know, don't you, that I love to fish. I mean, Keith Kramer, he retired. Keith is now able to fish a lot more than what he used to. In fact, I love to fish, but because of the vocation I'm in, I find it hard to find any time to really go fishing. And I fished a lot as a kid. Oh, I fished a ton as a kid. Most of it with my dad, some with other kids and their dads, but I fished a lot as a kid. As an adult, I've done a fair amount of fishing. What I'd like to do as an adult is go on a week-long fishing trip. I've been on Canada fishing trips. I've been on the North Woods of Wisconsin fishing trips. I've been up into the North Woods of Minnesota fishing trips. I just absolutely love fishing. It's a lot of fun. Now, when you go fishing, you've got a hook, you got some bait in the water. Sometimes when you go fishing, you got this lure in the water. Nick, we got a picture. Yeah, you got a lure in the water, and you're trying to catch the fish. You're trying to catch the fish, however you're trying to fish. Now stop and think about how dumb fish really are. Fish are so dumb, they actually go for something like that. Or fish are so dumb, they see a hook, or maybe a treble hook, like you fish for catfish, and this smelly catfish bait on it. And they go for it. I mean, how dumb are fish? And you're out there fishing, whether it be with a lure or maybe with a worm or a catfish bait or whatever it might be. You're fishing, and as you're fishing, this is kind of what I do as I'm fishing, kind of silently, well, sometimes out loud, but I'm fishing. I'm saying, "Fishy, fishy in the brook, come on and get on my little hook." Exactly right. I mean, fish are so dumb. And most of the time, they take the bait. They take the bait almost every time. And you would think that fish, when they see something like that, fish would go, "There is no way in the world I'm going to do that. I mean, there's sharp hooks there. I'm not going to take the bait. There's no way I'm going to take the bait," because just last month, my best fish buddy, he took a lure or he took a hook, and I've not seen him since. There's no way in the world. Let me ask you, how many of you have these habits where you are hooked? I mean, what is it in your life that has you hooked? What's that secret sin? For some people, I've got several of them in my pocket. It's that little plastic card. You know what I'm talking about? On the front of it, it has Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. And with that little plastic card, they can go anywhere, almost anywhere at any time and buy as much as they want with that little plastic card. Or maybe the thing that has you hooked, maybe the thing that has you hooked is that little bit of brown weed in a little white wrapper, and you roll that up. You know what I'm talking about. And you smoke it. And there might be a day, that you don't have one of those joints, and a day without that is like a day without sunshine. Or maybe for you it's prescription drugs. Maybe for you it's meth and nobody knows about it. Or could it be the thing that has you hooked? Could it be the screen on your phone? Your laptop? Your tablet? And you watch things on that screen that no one else knows about. In fact, if somebody else found out about that, you would be totally embarrassed. Or maybe there's a beverage that has you hooked. Without that beverage in your life, you just can't cope. How about the casino? How about online gambling? Maybe it's your temper. You can't control your temper. Maybe it could be a very, very embarrassing sexual sin. Or quite possibly, you may cut yourself. And because you cut yourself, you wear long sleeves year in and year out. Even on the hottest days of the summer, you wear long sleeves. Because if you don't, somebody else is going to find out that you cut yourself. Or maybe your problem's stealing. You know it's dumb. And you know it's wrong. But you just can't stop it. Every single time you walk into a store, you just can't stop. And you know that if this secret sin, whatever it might be, this secret sin, if anybody finds out, if it becomes public, it's going to be really, really bad. And so your soul is tortured by your secret sin. Now, let's go back to fishing. One type of fishing is catch and release fishing, right? And probably a lot of you have heard of catch and release fishing. You catch a fish and you release it back into the water. And why do they do catch and release fishing? I have a difficult time. I'm working hard to catch my fish, okay? And I'm going to eat that little guy. Hopefully the big guy, right? But why do they do that? A lot of people do catch and release fishing because in their mind, in their conservationist kind of mind, they want to make sure that there's enough fish for the future generations. And I get that. I really do. I get that. That's okay with me. But stop and think about it. I mean, stop and think about it. They catch the fish. They take a picture with the fish. Look. And then they release it into the water. What's going through the fish's mind? The fish is swimming through the water, whether it be a lake, the ocean, the stream, whatever it might be. The fish takes the bait. After he takes the bait, you set the hook. And then suddenly the fish is saying to himself, what did I do? Why in the world did I take the bait again? And they pull the fish into the boat. They unhook the fish. They take a picture with the fish. Look at me. I got the fish, right? And then they release the fish in the water. And the fish swims away at a million miles an hour saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, right? Question. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free from that which tortures your soul? If you want to detox from that which tortures your soul, it's going to require two things. First, here it is. First, we must, here it is, we must confess our sins to God for forgiveness. We've got to confess our sins to God for forgiveness. This is what John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, I think a great thing for you to do in the year 2023 is read your Bible every day. Hopefully you're doing that already. I challenged you with that last year. But read your Bible every single day. And here's another challenge for you. Start memorizing Bible verses. And a great Bible verse to memorize is this one right here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He'll forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a great verse to memorize. You see, if you confess your sins to God, He will forgive you because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He will forgive you. Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, and He will purify you. He will bury your sin in the deepest, darkest ocean, never to be remembered again by Him. God will forgive. God will bury it. God will forget all about it. And He really forgives. And He really forgets. Now, here's the thing. After we confess our sins to God, many of us come back to God with the same prayer the next day. Maybe the next week, maybe the same day. And while God forgives us, we find ourselves still dealing with the torture in our lives. And here's a tough question for you to answer. Of all the things that you've confessed to God for forgiveness, you've asked God over and over and over again. You've pleaded to God to forgive you, and you've told God you're never going to do it again. Here's the question. Why can't you seem to break free of that sin? Why is it you can't break free of that sin that tortures your soul? Could it be that we've misunderstood what confession is? Could it be that our confession is incomplete? Remember back in the book of Genesis there in the Old Testament? Do you remember Abraham? Abraham, back in the Old Testament, God came to Abraham, and God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you in some unbelievable ways. Great, thank you, God. I'm going to bless you with a land of your own. I'm going to bless you with a nation of your own. I'm going to bless your family, Abraham. In fact, Abraham, every single person who ever lives on planet Earth, every single person will have the opportunity to be blessed through you. Now, Abraham, I'm going to bless you that way, but before I do that, there's something that you need to know about. There's something I need to make you aware of. If I'm going to bless you, Abraham, here it is. If I'm going to bless you, you and the guys who are with you, all of you guys need to be circumcised. These are grown men that we're talking about, folks. All of you guys need to be circumcised. Fellas, can we say collectively, ouch? Ouch. Grown men, it's going to be more than an ouch, right? You know, I got to thinking, I don't think Abraham said this, but it may have run through his mind, God, rather than circumcision, what about a secret handshake? You know, what about something like that? Question. Why are Bible heroes like Abraham, why do we call them Bible heroes? Here's why. Because at a critical moment, they took the courageous next step. And here's the reason why so many people today still continue to live with a tortured soul. It's because they're unwilling to take that tough next step. They're unwilling to take that courageous next step. Do you want to, in the year 2023, do you want to level up your relationship with God? Do you want to level up your relationship with Jesus Christ? If the answer is yes, and I hope it is, you have to take a difficult next step. But Lynn, I mean, come on. That's going to be tough. That's going to be challenging. True. True. But did you know that there's a guy in the Bible who took a difficult next step? His name is Jesus. In fact, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was talking with God, praying to God. In fact, I would characterize it as pleading with God. Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified. He was pleading with God, God, if there's another way, if there's another way other than the cross, God, I choose that. I choose any other way but the cross. God, please, I choose that way. And then he followed it up by saying this. Jesus followed it up by saying this. Not my will, God, but your will be done. Not my way, God, but your way be done. And the soldiers came and got Jesus, and they arrested Jesus right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can go there today and see it. They arrested him, and they took him, and the next day they crucified him. They crucified him because, you see, Jesus took the difficult next step, and he died on the cross. You see, I say that to say this. There is another aspect of confession. If you want to level up in your relationship with God, you cannot miss this. You just can't miss this. If we confess our sins to God, yes, God will forgive us. But here's the second thing I don't want you to miss. Here's the second thing that I want you to write down that's so very important today. Here it is. We have to confess our sins to others for healing. You see, confessing your sin to God is not the tough step. The tough step, the difficult step, is to confess sin to another human being. Now, some of you are sitting there right now thinking, Lynn, I probably should do what you're talking about. But you need to understand, there is no way on God's good green earth, there's no way I'm going to do that. No way at all. I'll never do that. And this is why so many people continue to live with a tortured soul. They won't take that difficult next step. One of Jesus' brothers, his name was James. James is considered by commentators to be the head of the church in Jerusalem. And James wrote a book in the New Testament called James. And this is what Jesus' brother James said in 5:16. He says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why in the world should I confess my sin to you? Why should I confess my sin to you? Why should we pray for each other? Why? It's embarrassing. Why? Check it out. It says here, so that. Oh, here's why. So that you may be, what, church? Healed. Understand, when we confess to each other and pray for each other, that's where the healing begins. Once you risk honesty with each other, once you risk honesty with another person, all of a sudden you break out of the denial mode and you're taking that which was in the dark and you're placing it in the light in order to deal with it. Now let me say this. It says confess your sins to each other. I'm not advocating you get up on a stage and say, hey, this is my secret sin. What I'm advocating is this. You find that one person that you trust. You find that one person who can keep a confidence so that it doesn't become national news, so that it doesn't wind up on TMZ every single night of this week, right? And this is why, too, this is why we want you involved in a small group. In a small group, you've got openness. In a small group, you've got accountability. In a small group, you've got encouragement. In a small group, you've got people who will pray for you, and they genuinely care for you. That's why we push small groups so very much. That's why you need to be involved in a small group. You see, in a small group, you can level with people. Hey, guys, I need you guys to pray for me. Because I've got an anger problem. Or, hey everybody, I know we're praying about stuff. I've got something that I want y'all to pray for me about. And I want you to pray for me because I've got an alcohol problem. Or I've got a sex addiction. Would you guys pray for me? Would you guys pray for me? You see, when you bring this kind of stuff into the light, the healing can begin. Now, here's the big idea for today. Here's the quotable quote. Here's the sermon in a sentence for today. You ready for this? Here it is. We confess our sins to God for forgiveness. We're all about that. We confess our sins to God for forgiveness. Then it goes on to say, but we confess our sins to others for healing. For healing. And so I guess the $64,000 question is this. Are you going to take the courageous next step or not? Are you going to take the courageous next step or not? Not just confess it to God. That's not the tough step. But confess it to another human being so that you don't have to live another day with this tortured soul inside of you. Now, I'm going to run the risk here of saying some things. And in fact, the other night, I don't know, two, three, four nights ago, I was talking to a trusted confidant of mine. And I said, I wrote this sermon back probably 3 weeks ago. I've got some stuff in my sermon, I said, that I'm afraid might alienate some people. And I let them read that part of the sermon. And they said, I can see what you're saying. But Lynn, everything you're talking about in that part of the sermon, everything you're talking about, is totally biblical. I really think you need to share it. And so the risk I run is to make some of you mad. The greater risk I run is this, for some of you to get mad and walk out these doors into your parking lot and drive away saying, you know what, I'll never step foot on that property again. I'll never darken the doors of that church again. But please, I want you to know this. I want to speak some truth to you in love. You see, God cares too much for you to watch you go through your lives with a tortured soul. He wants better for you, but the next step is going to be tough. And let me clarify, what I'm about to say is not meant to be mean. It's not meant to condemn you. I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm not trying to act like the person who has their lives all together because I don't. But someday, I'm going to have to stand before the throne of God, and I'm going to have to answer for the words that I say from here. And I want to be able to say, God, I spoke the truth in love. And so that's what I want to do now, is I want to speak the truth in love. And the first thing that I want to talk about is this. Some of you need to stop drinking. You just need to quit drinking. You've got a drinking problem and you can't handle it. Well, Lynn, how do I know if I have a drinking problem? Well, here's one way. Has anyone told you over the past month, month and a half? Holidays, hello. The busiest time of the year for liquor stores, I'm just telling you that. That's a statistical truth. Has anyone ever told you in the past month, month and a half, 2 months, that you have a drinking problem? Are you the kind of person, whenever you're at a social gathering, you've got to hold a beer in your hand. You've got to hold a mixed drink in your hand. Glass of wine. Speaking of a glass of wine, are you the type of person who has to have a glass of wine every single night just to make you relax? Lynn, I don't have a problem with wine. I don't have a problem with beer. I don't have a problem with mixed drinks, hard liquor. I just don't. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Let me challenge you. Over the next 30, 45, 60 days, go 1 month without a drink, without alcohol. Go 1 month with no alcohol. That's my challenge. Let's switch gears. Let's change gears right now. Let's talk about food. Now, we joke about this a lot. I joke about this a lot. I love sweets. You kind of go, I do too. No, I love sweets. It's a problem for me. And we joke about this part. We joke about the fact that I love bacon, and honestly, I do. Hello. But that's just an indication of the poor eating habits I have developed, I don't know for how many decades, literally decades. And it may be because of that sweet tooth and quite possibly because of the poor eating habits that sent me into the hospital with a heart attack. And thank God that I survived. Thank God it was only a very mild heart attack. And you see, the Bible says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also says that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Who doesn't have a lot of that when it comes to food? Me. Related to the poor eating habits and the love for sweets, let's talk just briefly about obesity. Did you know that obesity-related deaths trump alcohol-related deaths by 160,000 people every single year? And that's old research from just probably 2 or 3 years ago. There are 160,000 more deaths related to obesity than there is related to alcohol. You see, some of us need to take some difficult next steps. And for you, you're going, it's not obesity for me. It's not sweets for me. It's not a bad diet for me. For some of you, it might be bulimia. You watch TV. You see the models on the commercials. You watch shows on TV. You watch movies. You thumb through the magazines sometimes. You see the actresses and the actors and the models. And they're so thin and they're so good looking. And everyone just loves and adores them. You think to yourself, oh, to be loved and adored, I've got to be looking just like them, nice and slim and trim and thin. Did you know that Jesus loves and adores you? In fact, Jesus loves and adores you so much so that he died for you. He loves you that much. And did you know that you are made in the very image of God himself? You are beautiful and you are priceless. You don't have to live that way any longer. you've got a difficult next step. Some of you, both men and women, some of you are addicted to porn. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you have a porn addiction. Here's the cycle. You look at the porn. You feel bad. You cry about it. You confess it to God. You pledge to God, I'll never, ever do that again, God. I am so sorry. And then you do it again. And that cycle keeps going. And the only way to break free of that is not only to confess your sins to God, but the only way to break free of that is also to confess it to another human being, a man to a man. Did you hear that? A man to a man. Woman to woman. Woman not to a man, man not to a woman. That's the way to break free. You say, well, Lynn, all I got to do, I don't need to go that route. All I need to do is pray harder, pray longer, pray more intense. Really? How long have you been praying about this, and how's that worked out for you? How's that worked out for you? Here's something else. Maybe you're having sex with someone you're not married to. Maybe you're having sex with someone you're not married to. And this could fall in the single category or the married category. Maybe you're having sex with someone you're not married to. You need to stop that now. Now. Keep your clothes on. Let's just be very frank here. Fellas, keep your zippers up. Keep your clothes on. Lynn, it's just a little bit of innocent flirting. That's all it is. Innocent flirting goes further and further and further. And before you know it, you'll be in over your head. Oh, it's just an online relationship. Okay, it's just an online relationship, but then you meet that person, then you start having coffee with that person, and it goes further and further and further, and then you will be in over your head. You've got to stop today with the online relationship. You've got to stop today with the flirting. You've got to stop now. And it's not easy to take that. It is not easy to take the next step, but it's always right to take the next step. Always right. And again, let me reiterate, I am not trying to humiliate anyone. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. I'm really not. I'm trying to help. Trying to help. Help you level up in your relationship with the Lord. You see, every single one of us in this room, every single one of us, including myself, we all have struggles. We all have things that we struggle with. Every single person. And hear me, we get forgiveness from God for those sins if we pray to Him. But when we confess our sin to another person, we get healing for our tortured soul. We get healing. And so the question is, do you want healing? Do you? Or do you want to live the rest of your life with this tortured soul? Will you take that step today? Will you take that next step today? The Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 24, he says this. He says, he used his servant body, that is Jesus, used his servant body, his human body, to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. His wounds became our healing. His wounds became our healing. And then he goes on to say this. You were lost with no idea of who you were. You're lost sheep, no idea of who you were or where you were going. Now you're named. Now you're named and you're kept for good by the shepherd of your souls. We can joke around a lot about the detox thing, right? But it's time for soul detox. It's time to level up in your relationship with the Lord. And for some of you, you need to talk to another person. For some of you, your next step is to get into a relationship with the Lord. That's your next step. Whatever it is, may God give you the courage to take that next step. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you've done. And God, we've talked about some pretty touchy things today. Some things that a lot of people don't talk about. God, I pray that for all of us, we will take that next step, whatever it entails. And God, I pray that you give us the courage to do it. Lord God, we want to be a people who glorify you. God, we want to be a people who bring a smile to your face every time we open our eyes in the morning. And God, we want to be a people who make you proud. So God, I pray that our lives, our words, our actions, our thoughts will make you proud. Give us, God, the courage to do what needs to be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.